The last few weeks, we've been working, living, and growing together in what we call family worship or family home series. And this morning, we're talking together about walking together as a church family. And that walk is not just about where we're going, but it's even how we walk. And so it's so like or equal or synonymous to what is our worship and where are we going with our worship, which is a topic that we all love to talk about and participate in here at Community Bibles Church. In fact, this is a text as well as in Ephesians that talks about singing and worshiping and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, whatever you do in worship to the Lord. Now, I would have us, though, think through what we just talked about in recent weeks in regards to the situation of the church at Colossae and the difficulty there that Paul had with the church leaders, with those leaders who were not handling well the voices coming from within that were contrary to worship, especially. And so that's where we're starting this morning. But before we get into this text, I'd like to pray and just, again, ask God's provision and understanding and that we would grow together in His teaching. So, Lord God, we are so wonderfully blessed to be together here this morning as a beautiful church family. We thank You, Lord, for those who have joined us from afar on a live stream. And Lord, that together our focus is on You. It's not about us. And Lord, today that You would be delighted in our praises, that we would know and experiencing this wonderful, awesome God that You are as the consuming fire that receives our worship because of the way we worship and how we walk today. Lord, be delighted in us. And we want to bless Your holy name. And more than anything else, to point others to Jesus Christ, to our Savior, who through Him there is eternal life by faith alone. So again, we give You our trust. We give You our surrender. We give to You, Lord, everything that we have, and teach us Your way and not our way. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. There are so many times throughout church history, as well as at the Church of Colossae, that there were traditions or some kind of religious effort that was going on that was not a true faith in Jesus Christ. And as folks were talking and discussing how we should do things or where we should be going, there were things from the past that were good experiences and bad experiences. And so all of us have a different journey that we're on in our worship. One of the challenges is to be able to think through the question, is there really a difference between religion and Christianity? To the world, probably not, because we would all fall into that category of religious activity. However, the Bible definition of religion is so different from Christianity, the definition of Christianity. You see, religion is all about man trying to become accepted before God, to climb the ropes, so to speak, so that one day we could reach heaven. Now, I'm not sure if this is true here at Palmyra High School or any other high school some of you young people are involved in, but when I was in high school, there were these big, thick ropes that hung from the rafters. And that is one thing that I could do as a farm kid. I could climb those ropes and touch the rafters. They will let us do that. I have no idea if they're even available in today's generation or even if you're allowed to touch the rafters. But I was good. It was like, to me, the only Olympic sport that I could ever kind of get closest to. And now, if I were to stand at the foot of one of those ropes hanging from the rafters of the gymnasium for phys ed class, I would just be there, and the best I could do was just hug that thing. I would not be able to get a foot off the ground. And so it is interesting how religion is always making that effort to somehow to be able to get their feet off the ground and climb that rope in order to get to the rafters to be accepted before God. And none of us could ever do that from a religious perspective. There is no human effort, no matter how strong you are in your upper body or in your character, the good works that you have or ever could hope to be able to do, to become perfect before God, because we're all born as sinners, broken in our relationship with God. Climbing the ropes is not a good thing, my friend, from a religious point of view. Just stand there and hug the rope if that's the best you can do. But Christianity has a totally different definition and perspective. It has a radically different message, even to the point that it's opposite of or in contrast to, because religion is all about man trying to reach God. Christianity, and the only Christianity, is a story about God coming down and reaching man. It's the opposite from what so many of us have experienced over the years, and maybe even are experiencing in our understanding of how we would ever be accepted by God, so that one day when we stand before God and God would say to you, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" Your only answer that would really, truly provide for you an entrance or the key into heaven is the fact that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We only come to the Father through Him and Him alone. There is no human effort. There's no rope to climb. There is instead grace to receive. And by faith, we welcome that into our lives through repentance. To acknowledge before God that we are broken. We live in a world that's not only against God, but blasphemes God. And so many times in our lives, when I'm attempting to worship in a religious kind of way, it's as if I can lay my sacrifice on the altar and immediately walk away and keep on doing the things of the world that I've always been doing. And somehow God's going to notice that I put something on the altar. However, the scripture says there's no consuming fire to that. God does not honor or bless that. So there were those in the Colossian church who were trying to commandeer Jesus Christ. And what we were saying in that regard is that there were those who, in a religious kind of way almost, were saying that if you don't do things this way or that way, you would not experience God's grace, or grace could even be taken from you if you don't play by the rules. And so know that the scripture went on to say in chapter 2 that if with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations like do not handle, do not taste, and do not touch? Why, believer, would you even want to go back to those kinds of things that had put a heavy backpack on your back? And as you went through the religious ceremonies, your backpack kept getting heavier and heavier and heavier. The opposite is true, that if you're with Christ, if you're in Christ, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have died to the elemental spirits of this world, those things like rules and regulations and how to do things, because now your backpack has been taken off, you've been set free and given new life in Christ. So in regards to how we would walk, our text this morning then introduces us to this idea of walking a heavenly walk, not the earthly walk. Now, in regards to our heavenly walk, there is this comment then in verses 1 to 4 of Colossians chapter 3. Let's pay close attention to what's being said here, because several times the idea of things that are above come to play, not the things that are below or the things of this world. The heavenly walk is explained in this way. Since then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above from heaven, where Christ is. Today he's seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds then, your attention, your focus on things that are above in heaven, not on things that are on this earth. For you have died, you have removed yourself, or those things of this world from a religious perspective have been removed even for you, because now your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. I'm just overwhelmed and never have gotten to the full understanding or the blessing, perhaps not in this lifetime, of everything that it means or that's included in the fact that our life is hidden with Christ in God. I do know this, that as I read through the New Testament, and especially through the epistles, I'm always being told of what my identity is as a believer, as a son, or as a daughter of God, that my identity, my true identity, is no longer Mike Brubaker. My identity is Jesus Christ. And so in that regard alone, my life is hidden with him, or in him, before God. That from heaven's viewpoint, from heaven's focus, looking in on me as a believer, God sees Jesus Christ when he looks at Mike Brubaker. How is that even possible? How could that even be a reality? Do I experience or understand everything that's involved in that? I do not. But I do know it's something to consider for us this morning and going forward in these days of understanding God's goodness and his grace in our lives and in our church family, of what the Lord Jesus is, not only who he is, but how he sees us, and then how that works out in our living and our growing together in Christ. The things that are from above, in fact, the things that are from above, that one day, because our life is hidden with Christ, we will be there in above. We will appear with him in glory. That is our walk. That is our heavenly walk. You would say that is the direction of our walk. That is the purpose of our walk. Yet there's more to this. In fact, in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, John writes similar kinds of words. I just found this text to be an incredible blessing to me over the years. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that you and I should even be called the children of God. And so we are. We sang about that. We heard about that this morning. Love written in red. To be called the children of God. The kind of love that the Father has for us, that while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. But the reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. The world, as Jesus entered into it so many years ago, rejected Christ because they did not understand. Even his own people, the Hebrew people, rejected him because they were looking for a political kind of king, a victor that would come to get them away from the chains of Rome and to set them free. Their hearts were not ready or prepared to be dealt with in a spiritual way, to know that their greatest need is not a political need or even a religious need. It's a spiritual need, the need to be set free from sin and the consequences of it. Now, verse 2, beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we will see him as he is. Glory be to God. And everyone who thus hopes in him, that hope itself, that eternal life that's in us, purifies us. It keeps us rescued in some way from the things of this world and helps us to refresh and reset and surrender, even maybe on a daily basis, to know that the walk I'm on is not an earthly walk. It's a heavenly walk. And every time the trials and circumstances of the discouragements, the disappointments of life, the rejections that we experience sometimes from family and friends because we are a man or woman of God, we are now understanding again, reminded over and over again, we're on a different walk. We're going a different direction. In fact, that's what repentance is. When we repent of our sin, we were going this way, and now we're going 180 degrees the other way. And so we're walking a different walk. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we will see him as he is. In a few moments, we're going to be singing together about marching and getting to heaven and being with Christ, and I look forward to our continued worship in that way. There's a few other things, though, that the Apostle Paul wants us to understand as God's Word is written to us through him. That so often we know from our experience, from our past experience, that these earthly walks that we are on are only and every day walking us only one direction, and that is into the grave or toward the grave. And that's why Paul writes, he says, listen, this is the word of God saying, put to death. It's a radical statement. Therefore, what is earthly in you, things like sexual immorality and impurity, passion, evil, desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry, on account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. Just as Haggai was saying to the nation of Israel, I will shake your kingdom because you do not worship right or well. You worship with the idea that you can come and put your sacrifice on the altar and walk away and live like you have before and to think that God is going to, behind your back, come and consume or receive your worship. And it never, ever worked that way. In fact, the things that's mentioned here, these vices of sexual immorality and impurity and passion and evil desire and covetousness, and things that are mentioned even in the next verse, are like animals, wicked animals that only a religion would be able to perhaps deal with from your past experience. At the very best, religion would put them in cages so that they don't get more traumatic, or they don't get more effective, or so they don't cause more damage. However, the grace of God works in a different way. Paul says, in these things you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away. You must put them to death. The idea is that you must slay those animals, those wicked things. You must get rid of them. You need to cut off their supply. You need to do everything in your control with the Spirit's help, obviously, in order to walk the different direction. And he goes on to mention other things that we are always dealing with in this earthly walk that we're so closely connected to. And we're experiencing these things daily in our lives, even as believers. In fact, he says in verse 8, but now you must put them all away. Things like anger and wrath and malice and slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. And I'm just sobered by this text because Paul was writing to a church family. And he's talking potentially about the kind of conversation and relationships people even had within the church family. That there are times maybe when the church family is walking the earthly walk, walking toward the grave and not out of the grave. These are sobering words, and certainly intentionality is needed in order to repent, to make the change. We need each other's encouragement. We need each other's input. We need each other's grace. We need each other's love together to experience God's love, to support each other, so that to make sure that we're on that heavenly walk that the Lord wants us to be on. So earthly walks, then that walk out of the grave come next. And so how do we put to death or get rid of those things that take us toward the grave? I think the answer, very simply but yet profoundly, is the fact that we need to be walking the kind of walk that walks out of the grave because of God's work and His Spirit in our life. In fact, he says, you now have, as a believer in Jesus Christ, have a whole new set of clothing to wear, a very different wardrobe. The wardrobe that is an outward expression of what is going on inside of our lives, in that's in our, that's coming out of our soul and out of our worship. You have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. To be reminded that when God created man, he made man, you and I, in his own image, to be his representatives here in this world. And so I want to represent my God in the best way possible. I can't be walking the earthly walk. I can't be walking toward the grave. I need to walk as if I'm walking out of the grave. I have a heavenly walk toward God himself. Verse 11, here, there is not Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all in all. There are no boundaries as far as who you are, where you've come from, what your heritage is, what you've been through, what you would be connected to today. All of us are in need of Jesus Christ, and all of these things are irrelevant to God's ability to work in your life and mine, to break through the cloud, to break through the barriers that society so often sets up. In fact, I'm interested in that word barbarian. The barbarian from a Hebrew mindset was someone in their estimation that was totally unsavable, that God would never even consider going there to reach those who are without Christ because of their wickedness, because of their dedication to the evil one and how Satan is so alive and well in their life. Yet we are told in this verse and many other places that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, including the barbarian, the one who we would say, if I would ever enter the door of the church, the walls would fall down. Sometimes we even put ourselves in those kinds of categories. But nothing can hinder the work of God in our life. So, as God would seek to call us to himself. Verse 12 then gets us going, I would say, in this walk toward heaven. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against anybody else, forgiving each other. Be the first to forgive. As the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. Well, this text goes on to some amazing words. Then it says this, and above all, put these things on, but for sure put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called into one body, and be thankful. There is one element that binds all of these things together in the heavenly walk. I have to have you pause for a minute, if you have your Bible or your text device in front of you, to read a few verses out of Ephesians chapter 5. That's not on the screen at this moment. Because in essence, this text is saying the same thing, but highlighting what is necessary to have that kind of worship that's acceptable before God in our heavenly walk. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3, it says this: "But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as it is proper among the saints. Let there be no filthiness, no foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be" what? Thanksgiving. Make note of that. "For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an adulterer, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partakers with them. For at one time you were in darkness," that earthly walk, "but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by light, it becomes visible. For everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, 'Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" Coming out of the grave. "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days in which we live are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand today for you what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." So what do we do then this morning? In taking our steps forward, for some of us, it may even be the first steps that we're taking and moving forward in our worship, honest worship before God as our Savior and Lord. Here's what we're told. "Let this word of God, this word of Christ, dwell in you richly." And for that to happen, we need to be reading it. We need to be absorbing it and meditating on it. We need to allow God's Spirit to work hand in glove with His Word to change our life, to keep us focused and put us on the right direction. That we are to be richly in the Word of Christ that teaches us and helps us to encourage and or admonish one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and with thankfulness, there again, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. The key that holds us together, the one thing that adds fuel to the fire, so to speak, in worship, the one direction that we all are wanting to think and process and be included in and to speak from our mouths and live from our hearts as we walk this heavenly walk is to be always walking with thankfulness. Thankfulness is the fuel that produces great worship. Grateful worship produces thankfulness. They work together. They're the same thing, you might say. That as we come before God with grateful worship, in thankfulness, that is what keeps us going the right direction and allows us to experience on this day what it would even be like to walk as if you were already in heaven and walking there. With grateful hearts, grateful worship keeps us from walking toward the grave and keeps us walking away from the grave toward things that are above.